I want you to take your Bible and I want you to turn to the book of 3 John. 3 John, if you will. We started a series many weeks ago, and it will last for another handful of weeks. It's entitled Destructive Behavior. Been a variety of topics that we've dealt with. Last week we started what I call church destroyers, things that can destroy a church. And these are the type things that would hurt a church like ours, an old fashioned King James Bible, fundamental soul winning Baptist church. And now in 3 John, I would like for you to stand with me, if you would, real quickly. It won't take long, but in 3 John, I want you to find verse number 9. Verse number 9, we'll have a little review and then get started in the new material. 3 John, starting with verse number 9, it says this, "I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, received us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds, which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God." Okay, let's pray. Father, bless us now. Help us, Holy Spirit. Help the practicality of the sermon tonight to affect us, and may we pay attention. And though maybe we don't need to be concerned immediately about any of these issues, eventually some of these issues will pop up and we'll want to behave ourselves properly so that we don't destroy the spirit of our church and we don't destroy the church that you've given us here. So I pray, God, that tonight we will be challenged, we'll be spiritually educated, and if necessary, convicted over our behavior so that we're careful not to hurt the church that we love. Bless us now with thy Spirit's presence, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to review a little, and let me tell you the same thing that I said last week. This sermon, it's a preventative maintenance type of a sermon. Our church is strong. Our church is unified. I want it to stay that way. In the sermon, I'm not trying to fix anything that is broken. I'm really not. I've always believed, though, the best time to teach on certain things, especially negatives, is when they're not present. That way it doesn't seem like an attack, or it doesn't seem injurious, maybe to those that might misbehave. But there are things that will destroy a church. There are things that will destroy a church, especially like ours. Right at the end of the lesson last week, and probably at the end of the lesson tonight, I'll remind you, the devil hates a soul-winning church. And he has his ways of messing up the rhythm of that church and the unity in a church. Now, the passage of Scripture that we just wrote, I told you, and again, I'll bring us up to date. There are three men that are mentioned, a man by the name of Gaius, a man by the name of Demetrius, and a man by the name of Diotrephes. All three of these men are mentioned, and the first one, named Gaius, it says about him, it says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth." Here's a man that was in the church. He was not spiritually, he was physically not well, but spiritually he was very healthy. And remember, this is the man where John said, "Boy, I wish your body was as healthy as your spirit is healthy." And he is talking about this guy spiritually loved the Lord and was very, very healthy, very, very strong, but his body was sick. And so John is giving him a compliment. And so this is a good man in the church. Another man that John speaks of is a man by the name of Demetrius. He's a man that loved the truth and he obeyed the truth and he had an excellent testimony among the people. It is said of him in verse number 12, "Demetrius hath a good report of all men and of the truth itself. Yea, and we also bear record, and ye know that our record is true." So he said there, the people in the church respect him for his stand for the truth. And then John even said, "And by the way, I've seen it myself." And you know, I wouldn't lie to you about him. This man named Demetrius, he's a good man, and he's a part of the backbone of the church, and he's a good, loyal, faithful, dependable member. Then we get to the third man. His name is Diotrephes. This is, according to the scripture, he's a church troublemaker. He creates trouble. And the text primarily is about him that we read a moment ago. And it says this about him in verse number 9. I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Now when it talks about having preeminence, here's someone that wanted attention. They worked at getting attention. They wanted to be lifted up. He wanted to have some power. He wanted to have some control. But he wasn't the pastor of the church. And from all indications, I'm not even sure that he was a leader that had been chosen in the church. But it says he loves to have preeminence. In other words, he does what he does to get attention. And there's some pride involved here. And then it says here, it uses the words, receiveth us not. In other words, he would not follow the man of God. He rejected the church leadership. Diotrephes is a man who wants to be independent. He probably thought he knew better than the pastor and probably thought he knew better than the other spiritual leaders. I'm going to guess Diotrephes didn't really like Demetrius and probably didn't get along with Gaius very well because these guys were on board. But Diotrephes was not on board. He was maybe inwardly jealous and covetous of even the compliments that were given to Gaius and given to Demetrius. And in verse number 10, it says this, wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds which he doeth. Now, here it says that it's not just one deed. This is not just Diotrephes' misbehavior. It wasn't a one-time event. It was ongoing. It was deeds plural. And it says prating against us. And that word prating there, it's foolish talking. And it says against us. So, in other words, John said Diotrephes, who's full of pride, who's a troublemaker, he says some foolish things about John, the guy in charge, the spiritual leader. And it says, and it uses the word malicious words, in other words, words of malice, in other words, words with intent to harm or to hurt. And then it says, and he's not content. In other words, you can't satisfy him. He's unsatisfied. He's unsatisfied with the pastor. He's unsatisfied with the leaders. He's unsatisfied with the decisions. And then it goes on to say, neither does he himself receive the brethren. In other words, he was probably a rejecter of Gaius. He was probably a rejecter of Demetrius. He was a rejecter of the spiritual people in the church. And then it says, and forbiddeth them that would. In other words, Diotrephes was not only contrary himself, if there were people that were loyal and committed to the church program, and we're talking about a good, scriptural, doctrinally led church, if there were people that were faithful and loyal to that, it says here, he forbiddeth them. In other words, he didn't want them to be like that. Why? He had his own program. There's something he wanted. There's something he wanted to accomplish. And it says, and casteth them out of the church. In other words, his behavior, he would. There were some people that he had enticed away from the church. There were people that he was driving away from the church. And may I say to all of you, folks, the outside world, there is so much chaos and division and disloyalty out in the world. The last thing they want to do is come to a church where it ought to be a haven and then find a bunch of disunity and chaos and hatred in the church. Why would anybody want to go from the world that's misbehaving to come to the church that's misbehaving? And so, but Diotrephes was making it so people didn't want to come to the church, and he was making it so that some of the people that were loyal in the church wanted to get away from him. I hope you've never experienced it, but any adult that's been in the church any time at all, every once in a while you just come across somebody that you think, I hope they don't come around me, because they make me uncomfortable in my own church because of their tendency toward evil and pride and division and wanting their own program. So then in verse 11 it says, beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. So Diotrephes has been labeled in the Word of God, by the Holy Spirit as evil. And the recommendation, or really it's a command, it said, don't follow that. Don't follow that. Now remember, the devil, he hates God. The devil hates God's book. The devil hates God's work. The devil hates God's New Testament church. And the devil, you know, if a church is doing what God wants it to do, the devil's going to try to figure out a way to slow it down, to mess it up. The devil's never going to destroy the New Testament church. But I'll tell you this, there are a lot of things about a church the devil sure can make a mess of it. There are some behaviors that can destroy. Look, we know the New Testament church and the Bible, that's God's. And if God be for it, who can be truly against it and stop it? But may I say that the devil sure can make create havoc. The devil sure can make it miserable. And so what the devil does, then he influences people that become evil or bad, or call it whatever you want, and they hurt themselves, and then they can hurt the New Testament church. Now, 3 John is a man of God warning a church to be careful that they're not destroyed by misbehaving people. And that's basically what 3 John is. In fact, he puts names to the three men, Gaius, Demetrius, and Diotrephes. And basically, it's a letter saying, watch out, Diotrephes is a destructive person. Well, for many years now, I was a 16-year-old boy and I got called to preach. From that point to this, that's basically what I've done with my life. And I've watched churches. I've watched churches of all sizes. And there are some things that are destructive to a church. And I realize, look, if you're not true to the Word of God and the doctrines of the Word of God, that'll destroy. That's destructive. I think I'm more so talking about some other areas, maybe some areas that are not just about doctrine, some behaviors that if they become prevalent in a church that's on fire for God, these things can mess up a church. They can be destructive to its unity. They can be destructive to its productivity. Now, they're never going to destroy that church, but they can destroy the unity. They can destroy the productivity. They can destroy the spirit. Boy, accomplishing the right kind of an attitude, atmosphere, spirit in a church, believe it or not, there's a little work involved in that. Amen. There's a lot that goes into it. You've walked into churches, you walk in, you feel like you're going into a funeral home or a morgue, dead. You walk in as a visitor and they're almost offended that you're there.
Right. Right.
And you're thinking, Mike, I don't know what I did. You just showed up. I hope you all know, you wouldn't believe the compliments our church get. People come in and they say, wow, people are happy they're here.
Amen.
Well, we want to keep that.
Right.
We want to keep that. So we have to protect ourselves. We've got to watch out for those kinds of things that can destroy it. I'm going to review just a couple more minutes. Last week we said people that hop from church to church, they can go to church and cause trouble. And I hate to say it, but there are people out there like that. They go to one church and, you know, they go there and they don't like something and they cause a ruckus, and then they go someplace else and don't like something there and cause a ruckus, and then they go someplace else and they don't like something there and cause a ruckus, and they just can't find a church that's right. But the only common denominator in all the jumping is them. In Galatians 4:4, it said that there's people that are as unstable as water. Because of that, they don't excel. And so I call it church hopping. You can call it whatever you want. But, you know, people, we're not looking for a church that satisfies us. We're looking for a church that satisfies God. So, well, Pastor, I came to this church and your church is nothing like me. Good. We weren't trying to be like you. So what are you trying to do? Be like Jesus? So, there's so much change that I'm going to have to do to fit in around here. Any of you go through any of that? We all went through that. You don't come to church to change the church. You come to church to be changed. Secondly, church leaders who become disloyal. You know, they start out and they love the Lord and they are what they're supposed to be, and then they get disloyal. And before long, you know, you put somebody in a position and they were doing right, and then they stop doing right and develop an attitude, and before long, they at one time were influencing positively, and now they're influencing negatively. So be careful. Stay loyal to the Word of God. Stay loyal to the New Testament church. Stay loyal to the doctrines. Hey, and to some degree, we are to stay loyal to the church leadership. And I'm not trying to promote Jeff Owens. Jeff Owens is nobody. But the pastor of the New Testament church is obligated to God to lead. It's just what God asked him to do. But, so, destructive attitudes, church hopping, just somebody looking for the church that fits them when they ought to be looking for a church that fits God. Church leaders who become disloyal. Thirdly, I talked about strong leaders in a church who won't follow. James 4:10 said, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and He'll lift you up. This is where I told you, so a businessman, somebody in the military, ex-pastors, or even laymen whose leadership goes to their head, they're strong, but they don't know how to temper that. You take a man that he runs a business and he makes decisions all day Monday, all day Tuesday, all day Wednesday, all day Thursday, all day Friday, all day Saturday. He makes all the decisions. He's in charge. It's his business. He runs this joint. Then he comes to church and he's still in that mode. And if we don't do it his way, there's tension. Everybody here, we got to learn how to shift gears. I watched something that my mother was very good at. When my dad wasn't around, my mother could run the joint. She was in charge. But you know something? When dad got home, mom took a half step back. And I wish she wouldn't have. I'd rather dealt with mom than dad any day of the week. But dad would be gone and busy, and mama would, you would think that she just ran everything, but the minute dad came home, you could just tell there was a half step back. Dad stepped up. I think every man here that leads in the community, lead. Lead that business. Lead what you do. But you got to be careful. You can't lead this church. You say, I don't like that. Then go find one. Go find your own. I found this one. I get to leave here. Nah. It really impresses everybody, doesn't it? So church hoppers, there'll be all sorts of children getting in trouble tomorrow because they're going to go, nah. That's right. Preacher did it. Number four. Position seekers who have been offended. Boy, if somebody had become covetous and somebody had wanted something and then they didn't get it, wow, can people be offended? I wanted to be a deacon. I didn't get to be a deacon. I wanted to be the bus captain. I didn't get to be the bus captain. I wanted to be the primary pianist. I didn't get to be the primary pianist. I wanted to be in charge of this. I wanted to be a Sunday school teacher. I wanted to do this. I wanted to do that. Why didn't they pick me? I wanted to, and I didn't get it. And there becomes a root down inside them of dissatisfaction. And here's what I've always said about that. If you got bypassed for something, and then as a result of being bypassed, you become bitter and angry and contentious, we did the right thing by bypassing. Because you're in it for the wrong reason. But listen, if you got bypassed and you're deserving, forgive me. I would not do that on purpose. Matter of fact, I'm always sitting on the edge of my seat for people to step up, live right, clean up their lives, change their life enough that they could be placed in leadership. I mean, I'm constantly watching. But if people wanted something and they didn't get it, and they get offended, that attitude of, I got cheated, I got shortchanged, they become jealous then. They get mad at, you know, you wanted to... you want to be the youth director. But Brother Ellswick's the youth director. So now you can't stand that jerk Ellswick. Matter of fact, you'll make sure that everybody's dissatisfied if you can. Because pastor picked the wrong guy. No, pastor picked the right guy. And you're proof of it. So then, What else? What can be destructive? Bitter people. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:31, let all bitterness be put away. Some people are just bitter in life. Let me warn you. You say, I was bitter before I got saved, and I've been bitter ever since. Even after I got saved, there are some people who are just bitter. Bitterness is a little bit like a poison to your attitude and a poison to your spirit. Bitter people, they tend to work everything that's happening around them into their bitter element. They can figure out a way to make it all attached to that thing. And boy, bitterness, it's a dangerous thing. It's a dangerous thing. People that are bitter, many people are bitter because they felt like they've been mistreated, and then they turn around and don't realize they're mistreating now as a result of their bitterness. So they are now becoming what they disliked. They were the victim, and now they're the perpetrator. And boy, I've dealt with lots of people in counseling, and that happens. Okay, next. And this is the last point from last week. Backslidden leaders. In Jeremiah 14:7, it talks about our backslidings are many, and we have sinned against thee. Let me say to everybody in here, deacons, don't be backslidden. Deacons' wives, don't be backslidden. And so you all know, the Bible makes it real clear. Deacons and their wives are supposed to live a certain way. It's in the Bible. I didn't write it. I'm not calling roll here. I'm just telling you. It's in the Bible. Sunday school teachers, you were given leadership because you were behaving a certain way. Now, I don't expect you to be perfect, and I know you're not the second coming of Jesus Christ, but I am telling you, if you agreed to live a certain way, you ought to be living that way. You say, I stumbled. Okay, get right back up. But don't stay down. Same thing with bus captains and leaders. When you've got a spiritual revival going on, if the leadership, an element of the leadership, gets backslidden, it was given the leadership so that it could positively influence, and now it's backslidden and it's got leadership in the church. Now it can negatively influence, and that's not good. Now, the new material. And this would actually be point number 7, a continuation from last week. Evil people are destructive. In Psalm 37:9, it says, for evildoers shall be cut off. Now, to some of you that are a little newer in the church, let me tell you something. There's a difference in the word sin and the word evil. Sin is when we break one of God's laws, but evil is a part of sin, and sin is a part of evil. But evil is more than just breaking one of God's rules. See, let's say, I'm going to rob a bank, and that's how we're going to get our new church auditorium. So I make a plan to rob a bank. It'd be sin for me to do that. But you know what? I decided that I'd see if Dylan would help me. See, now I'm drawing someone else into my misbehavior. And then there's another level. That means, and I'll get to that second level in a second, that means teenagers, you want to do wrong. You shouldn't. If you want to do wrong, leave everybody else alone. It's a sin for you to do wrong. It is evil for you to pull another teenager into your wrong. Young man, I think you ought to be pure. If you're not going to be pure, that's going to be your problem. That's a sin for you not to be pure. Don't you dare entice one of our young ladies into being impure with you. That has become evil. But there's another level. Evil is virtually pulling others in with an intent to hurt. Intent. I'm trying to pull people into my misbehavior. I want to do that. And I think it has a lot to do with it, an attack on other people's integrity, an attack on other people's goodness. Evil people are not satisfied with their own sin, so they draw others into it. I think gossip is an evil thing. You say, well, Pastor, I don't like you. Welcome to the club. I don't like me either. But can I recommend something to you? If you don't like me, you'd be better off taking that up with God and nobody else. Because the minute you voice your dissatisfaction, if it is sin, you're voicing it, has now become evil. Because now you're drawing others into that criticism. That's where I'd recommend that you're very careful on Facebook. Facebook could be one of the greatest blessings in the world or one of the greatest evil tools in the world. Because it makes it so people can spread their dissatisfactions, their criticisms. Hey, and so you also know, evil people, if someone's really evil, let me tell you who they go to work on the most. Simple, people that don't know any better. You know, I'll tell you what you do. If you have a criticism and you're just irate with Jeff Owens, the pastor, try to go tell Rick Young or Dave Steed or George Knopfsinger. Go tell them. You say, I'm not going to. Okay, you could find one of the new church members that don't know how to behave. Tell them. If you really want to be slick. Because they don't know any better. Evil people go after simplicity. Matter of fact, evil people can go after stupidity. You say, well, Pastor, somebody the other day was just telling me how disappointed they are in you. They don't think very highly of you, do they? Because if they felt like they could come to you to criticize me, they must have already known that you didn't know how to take your stand and that you were weak. I'm not trying to be mean. And by the way, I already told you, I'm not trying to fix anything that's broken. Because if it's broken, I don't know it. But I do know how things work. I do know what the Bible teaches. Evil tends to go after simplicity. Evil does not usually attack strength, and evil does not usually go after the wise. Because the wise know how to handle the evil. So evil people can be destructive. They can be destructive in a New Testament church, especially one that's having revival. Okay, let me go on. Number 8. It can be destructive when people, they try to lead the church from the pew. They try to lead the church from the pew. I think one of the reasons why God chooses a pastor, he wants, there needs to be a point man, if you will, someone that says, okay, that's what we're going after. Let's all pull together and go after it, and let's do this, and there's some direction that way. But what some people can do is some people can get their own cause. Then they begin to rally people to their cause. And then, before long, they're trying to use the church organization to promote their cause. But the problem is, their cause was not necessarily the cause that the church was promoting at the time. So, then they demand. They say, well, I can come to church here. I tithe here. I can do whatever I want. I want to get a bunch of people in the church together and go do something. I'm just going to go do it. I'll do what I want. Well, you may, and you might feel like that's okay, but you're going to have to remember something. We're to be a family. We are to be working together. Okay, I'll tell you something that I did. Mrs. Owens is hosting an activity for the adult ladies this Saturday in our church. Do you know that I wanted every adult lady that wanted to go on that activity to feel like they could? So this is what I said to all the bus captains on last Saturday. I said, now, bus captains, if there are any adult ladies that want to go on the ladies' activity, I want you to make sure their bus calling and all their obligations are over with. Don't make them feel bad if they want to be back from bus visitation in time to go on the ladies' activity. because we're a team. And then I said this, and I was kidding, but if you know me, you know I wasn't kidding about the whole thing. I said, if I find a bus captain that stands up and says, sure, if you want to come back early and be disloyal to your bus route and go on the ladies' activity, go ahead if you don't love the bus ministry any more than that. I said, if I find out you say something like that, you won't be the bus captain anymore. Why? Because someone takes their own cause and they promote it above the church program cause. This is my ministry, pastor. You can't touch it. You have to understand in the local New Testament church, and folks, I got to explain something to you. I'm not trying to toot my own horn. I'm just trying to show you about pastoral leadership. The way you keep everything unified is we all get on the same page and we use some good common sense. There's some expectations that followership has. So you say, well, this is my ministry and you're not going to touch it. Okay, but you do need to understand the ministries that are under my leadership, I'm required to make decisions about those. The Bible says, it tells us this. In Hebrews 13:7, it says, obey them that have the rule over you. At the end of the verse, it says that they must give an account. See, here's what's going to happen, folks. I've got to face the Lord about what happens here in my church. And you know what? I don't have to give answer to the other churches in town. I have to give answer to God what happens in mine. That's one reason why I say, look, you know, if it's a ministry of our church, I need to have some say-so. I want to keep it all right. I do it for protection, for doctrinal security and everything. You say, well, I've got this, and you're not going to tell me what to do. Boy, you're looking for trouble if you're not careful. But, whatever you do, if you say, well, I'm going to have this ministry and you're not going to have any say-so in it, okay, then do me a favor. Don't be recruiting people from my church to get involved in it. You're not supposed to lead the New Testament church. God does. And then God said the pastor. And then God said the deacons will help and serve the pastor. And so, you say, are you a dictator? No, I'm just a pastor. There are pastors that would deal with what I'm teaching you in a far more assertive and aggressive way. I'm not trying to be mean to anybody. I'm really trying to teach you what the Bible says. And so, people that want to lead the church from the pew, they want to be independent of the church leadership. This is mine. You can't touch it. Watch out. Because that can have a tendency to have pride. And did you know something? Sometimes the pastor might know a little bit more about spiritual leadership than you. You say, well, probably not in this case. Okay, that's fine. That's fine. I don't think I know it all. Matter of fact, I think I know far too little. But I do know my responsibility as pastor. And all the ministries that are a part of this church, the buck stops at my desk. And I will pick the leadership. And I will make sure the people that are involved do it the right way. And if you recruit people from my church into what is yours, that is that's not a part of our ministry, you're doing the wrong thing. Okay, we'll move on. Let me quickly, number 9. People who don't or won't grow become dangerous. People who won't or don't grow become dangerous. 1 Peter 2:2 tells us that we're to desire the sincere milk of the word that they may grow thereby. Now here's what happens. If people say no to growth, that can become dangerous. Now, there are some people that maybe they're growing and they're not rebelliously saying no to growth. But listen, if something is taught from the Bible and someone says no to it, now that's rebellion. That's rejection. There might be something taught and someone says, I haven't been doing that and I didn't even know. I think God looks at that and says, I understand. You're growing. But if something's taught and you say, no. That is the rejection of truth. A wise person accepts and lives truth. A simple person doesn't necessarily know what truth is. A foolish person knows what it is and says no. People who won't grow become dangerous. Now here's what happens. So the pastor teaches something and someone makes the knowledge, they say, no, I won't do it. Now, every time that issue is preached or brought up, they say no again in their heart. Matter of fact, they feel attacked. Are you coming after me? No, let me tell y'all something. I was preaching everything I preach long before you came along. I believe that before you got here. There were people putting up with me before you became a part of this. You say, well, is it an attack? No, it's not an attack. It's the truth repetitively being brought to light, being taught. So what happens is if someone says no, then they hear preaching on it again. They're going to have to make some decisions. They either say no again. Man, somebody knows that they said no. Now they've got to defend their position. And before long, they're causing disunity. And usually, to the more simple-minded or the other people that said no. And so the one guy that said no found the other guy that said no. And then they're going to go to McDonald's, have a little no conversation. Maybe we can find somebody else that would say no. You see how it all works? Areas of growth. You know, you teach someone, okay, look, you stand up and you teach tithing. And somebody says, well, I'm not doing it. Do you know that every time that the preacher talks about tithing thereafter, it rubs them a little raw? They can get upset about it. Same with soul winning and separation and standards and dress and ecclesiastical separation. I'm big on ecclesiastical separation. I will not yoke up with every Tom, Dick, and Harry that just happens to mention Jesus every once in a while. I'm not going to do it. You mentioned pastoral leadership. There are some of you, you've come from churches where you were not taught pastoral leadership. And what I'm teaching you tonight, you're a little uncomfortable with some of the things I've said. Sorry. I'm King James Bible. That's it. I'm not changing. And listen, but if you say no to certain teachings, if you're not careful, every time it's taught, you're going to think, is he saying that to me? Is he out to get me? Is that Sunday school teacher trying to get me? No. When one ceases to grow, they become dangerous to themselves and to the people around them. Because of their rejection, they suddenly start taking personal, and they got to blame, somebody's got to be wrong. Them or the people doing the teaching? Well, you know what we usually choose to believe? Can't be me. It can't be me. And that's dangerous in a church. I'm hurrying. Number 10. Dangerous to a church like ours. People who didn't read our church sign when they came in the parking lot. This is Twin Rivers Baptist Church. We could eliminate three words and I'd still be happy. You can take Twin Rivers. Well, we'll keep church and we'll keep Baptist. Let me take it down to two words. We don't have to have the Twin Rivers, but we are a Baptist church. Folks, did you know in Matthew 3:13, Jesus got baptized by John the Baptist? Baptist was not his last name. Okay, I'm not a Protestant. I'm a Baptist. I'm not a charismatic. I'm a Baptist. I don't yoke up with the organizations that are not local New Testament church of such. I'm Baptist by conviction, not by choice. Number 11. It can be dangerous in a church when the people there are spending all their time comparing us to their past and where they came from. Let me see. Let me read something to you. In Philippians chapter 3, verse number 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. It's dangerous when the people sitting in the pew are spending their time comparing the church of now and the pastor of now to the past. Now, it's a wonderful thing. If the pastor of the past and the pastor of the now were both right with God doctrinally, you say, this is refreshing. Amen. Oh, but if there are differences, if you're not careful, you'll eat up your spirit. You say, well, pastor, the church that I came from is smaller. That's why I'm unhappy here. Okay, if you keep saying that, and saying that and saying that, you'll hurt the spirit of our church. You say, pastor, the church that I used to go to, it was bigger than this one. Well, I'm sorry. We're doing what we can. But if you spend all your time comparing the past to the present, you'll find yourself miserable. Our auditorium was different than this one. Okay. Well, this is the one that we have. Say, now, pastor, my previous pastor, he was a little more calm than you. Well, I am trying to be calm. Most of you don't know me. I'm trying to be calm. Calm for the years that I've been calm. I'm doing the best I can. But if you're not careful, though, constant comparison. I'm not like your last pastor. Sorry. Say, but that's what I want. Then go find him. Is there anybody here that I came and begged you to join my church? I beg you? No, I don't do that. You can sit in these pews for years and I won't beg you to join my church. Why? I don't want to beg a troublemaker to come to my church. Somebody's not going to like it. Somebody don't want it. Say, well, where will you get people? Maybe Jesus will bring them. I don't know. You say, well, my last church didn't have the standards that we have here. Well, we have them here. My last church had this ministry and you don't have it here. Okay, I'm glad you know that. And we'll get all the ministries going that we can and we'll do what we can. But listen, I would be miserable if I was going around this auditorium all the time saying, man, I wish you were like some of the people I used to have. I wish you were on time to church like old so-and-so. I wish you'd show up soul winning every once in a while like my old church member. I wish I could trust you like I could have trusted old so-and-so. You say, well, pastor, please don't think that way. Well, I don't. Well, it'd only be reasonable then that you're careful how you think, right? You can't, look, if God brought you here, then be here and be happy by choice. Become a part of the program. Say, well, I'm not that satisfied. Leave. You say, will you be mad? I'll rejoice with you. This church needs me. This church needs nobody but Jesus Christ. And I'm not trying to be mean. Look, people that spend all their time comparing us to everything they wish they had or how it used to be or where they used to be, I'm sorry. This is what we are. Now, we believe the doctrines of the Bible, and I think we believe them appropriately. And I'm doing the best that I know how in regard to leadership in the church. If I'm falling short, I apologize, but we'll have to take that up with God. God didn't tell me to come see you to figure out what I'm supposed to do. So, be careful if you compare too much to the past. Yeah, you'll have yourself miserable. Miserable. I think one of the great compliments that I'll hear, someone will say to me, say, yeah, boy, you and Preacher Croom believe so much alike. So much alike. I'm glad of that. I'm glad of that. He and I get along fantastic. We've never had even a moment, not ever a bump. But I'm not exactly like him. He's not exactly like me. But we do have a God and a Bible that is still true. We're Baptists, and that didn't change. And we believe the doctrines of the Bible. That didn't change. And we're soul winning, and that didn't change. I would say the primaries didn't change. Let me go on. Finally, destructive people are people that can hear everything that I taught for 2 weeks and still act like Diotrephes. Because I'm going to promise you, I could say all this and you say, you're pretty candid. You just put it out there. Right. And there's somebody that can walk away and still misbehave in these areas. Still. And that tends to be destructive. I think people are what stop revival. See, God's willing. God's willing. First of all, he said, I'm not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You know what? God wants revival. He wants it. Well, you get revival going on in the church and you get things going the right direction and the right spirit and you're seeing spiritual growth and numerical growth. And so, you know, numerical growth is a byproduct of spiritual growth. If you're growing spiritually, you'll grow numerically because part of spiritual growth is reaching and caring about people. And then you start caring about more people and there's more people to grow spiritually. But boy, God is not the one who decides that, well, you can't have revival anymore. The people, they destroy, they hurt the atmosphere in which God would like to work. And so that's why we have to be careful. Again, one of the easiest things in the world is teaching on something like this when you don't have any problems in your church. You know. Knock on wood. Now, and hey, let me warn you. Many of you, I don't know anything much about your past spiritually, where you came from. A bunch of you, we've won you to Christ and you're part of our church and you're new converts. And some of this you're saying, I didn't know all this was possible, Pastor. It sure is. But let me tell you, if you were a troublemaker in your last church, don't cause trouble in ours. You know what? We've been more than happy serving the Lord without someone coming and causing division within our church. And we don't need you that bad. We want God's blessing more than we want you. You say, that's mean. I know, but it's true. It's true. Matter of fact, I got a couple preachers that hate me. I'd love for you to go join their church. Well, best things I can do is send my enemies to them. But God's blessing our church. And for him to keep blessing, there's certain things we've got to guard ourselves from. And while we're all on the same page, it's a good time to decide to stay on the same page. And if I didn't word something exactly right, don't get irritated. It's pretty difficult to stand up here and talk for 45 minutes and say everything exactly right. But I think you get the gist of what we've been trying to teach for 2 weeks. Let's not destroy our local New Testament church by these little misbehaviors. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here tonight, you've never been born again, we want to welcome you to the Savior. If you need to come, we'll take a Bible and show you how you can be saved. If you're here tonight and you're a Christian and you struggle in your Christian life, come to the altar and spend a moment with Jesus and maybe work on it a little bit. I think we've got a great team. I think, matter of fact, here's what I think. I think one of the reasons our church is on fire for God and we're seeing great things happen is because we're not suffering from these issues that I discussed. So you're a part of the team. Don't mess that up. Stay a productive part of the team. Something must be going right. Whatever you do, don't start going a different direction. There's a right attitude, and somehow we've accomplished that right attitude in our lives. We want to keep that attitude. God's blessing it. Don't let something get you off track. Who here tonight would say, Preacher, God has definitely challenged my thinking tonight, and I know it. I know God has challenged my thinking, and I want to learn and grow from what I've heard in the last couple of weeks. Would you raise your hand and let God see it? Yeah, lots of hands all over the place. You may put your hands down. If you need a moment to pray, you come. It won't be long. We'll be on our way. But let's have a time of altar call if we could. Rachel, if you'll play for us, let's all stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If you need the altar, you come. Diotrephes was destructive. And the words are actually used. Beloved, follow not that which is evil. Watch out. There are people that hop all over the place. They can never find a church that's satisfactory. Church hoppers. Watch out for church leaders that become disloyal. You turn over a leadership role to them. Before long, they start misusing that role. And now your trust in them is being abused by them with the people. Watch out for strong leaders, strong all week long, but can't submit down at the church. Watch out for people that seek position. They didn't get it, so they're offended. Watch out for bitter people. Watch out for backslidden leaders. Agreed to leadership when they were living right. Now they're in leadership and they're no longer living right. Watch out for evil people. Not just people that do wrong, but evil people pull others into their wrong and they become critical. And that they're actually building a group, if they can, of people to think wrong and to do wrong. Watch out for people that want to lead from the pew. They don't want the pastor to be the pastor. They don't want him to have that final say-so. Watch out for people that won't grow. Watch out for people that didn't read the sign Baptist out front. Watch out for those that spend all their time comparing to what they used to have, where they used to be, what their pastor was, what the building was, all of that. Watch out. That'll make you disgruntled if you're not careful. And watch out for people that can hear all of this and then turn around and behave like a Diotrephes anyway. One more time through the song, if you will, Rachel.